Okay, let's, with Hashem's help, B'li Neder, finish Shas together. Today's daf is daf Ayin Tes. We are about 8 lines from the top of the page. Or Kedei Lasos, etc. B'chule. That the Mishnah had said the amount of leather that you're obligated for carrying on Shabbos is the amount of leather that you can make an amulet out of. Says the Gemara, B'ayim Nei Rav Meir of Nachman. Hamotzi or bikama. If you have leather that's already tanned, so how large does it have to be in order to be chayv on Shabbos? Amarlei kidisnan. It says in the Mishnah, or kidei lasos kamea, enough leather to make an amulet out of it. Hamabdo bikama. So let's say if you salt it. So that's a different malacha. Now we're not talking about carrying, we're talking about salting it. Ma'abed means tanning it. So how much do you have to tan in order to be obligated? Amalei, same amount. Lo shna, same amount. It's the same amount that you carry it is the same amount that you salt it, meaning the amount of leather that it would take to make an amulet. La'abdo bikama. Now, what about if you carry leather? So the first question was, if you carry leather that was already tanned. Now we're talking about if you carry out leather that you have not yet tanned. So how much of that would you be chayav for? Bekama, amalei, lo shna, same amount. The same amount of tanned leather is the same as the same amount of leather that you have not tanned yet. Says Rav Nachman, umina tamra. How can I prove it to you that leather that is not tanned is the same amount as leather that is already tanned? Kedisnan, we learned in the Mishnah, hamalabein, if you launder a garment, you launder wool, v'haminafetz, and if you comb it out, v'hatsovea, and then you dye it, v'hatove, and then you spin threads out of it, you spin it into thread, so the shear for all four of these malachas, malabi, menafit, tove, and tove, the shear for all four of them is the same thing. It is like, this amount, double this amount, the amount between your thumb and your pointer, when you stretch it out, as I'm doing right now, if you could look at the screen here, double that. Double kimelo rochav asid kafel, like the amount that you have between your, I'm sorry, I said that wrong. It's between these two, I apologize. Between these two fingers. The amount that you have between these two fingers, double. That's the amount of string. The ha'oreg shnei chutin, and if you weave two threads, shiro kimelo rochav asid, so that's a dispute on the girsa here, whether it's kimlo rochav asid kafel. Some people have the girsa kafel here, others don't have it. Same thing. So the area in between these two fingers, that's the etzba. This is your etzba, and this is your amma, because you measure the amma with the middle finger. So doubled over. That's considered to be a chashiva amount. Alma kevan l'dil tviya kai. Shira ketavoi. Since the reason you make string is for the sake of spinning it into a string, so the same shear that you use for spinning a string is the same for laundering and combing and dyeing. It's the same as spinning. So hachanami soto over here came into avdo kai shira kamubad. Since the leather is destined to be used for tanning, so it doesn't matter when it's actually tanned or it's going to be tanned. It's the same shear. Fine, says Gemara. V'shelo la'abdo b'kama. But let's say you have leather that you are not intending to tan it. You're intending to do something else with it. Says the Gemara. Amalei loshna. Same amount. Whether you're intending to tan it or not intending to tan it, it's the same amount. It's the amount of leather that you would use for a small amulet. Now, Rava doesn't like this. Asks the Gemara. So Rava asks against Rav Nachman. Right? This was all Rava talking to Rav Nachman. So Rava, Velo Shani Bein Mu'ubad L'Shein Mu'ubad. So Rava asked Rav Nachman, is there really no difference between leather that is being tanned versus leather that is not being tanned? Esav, I'll ask you a question against this. Hamotzi Samanim Shiruyin Kedei Litzbar Ben Dugma. If a person's carrying out the plants that are used for the dye, the samanim, the spices, the plants that are used for dyeing. So if they are already soaked, you're soaking them, and that's the way they did it in the dyeing process. So once you soaked these plants that were going to be used for dyeing, so if you already soaked them, then kedei litzbar ben dugma, then it's enough. How much do you have to carry in order to reach the significant? Enough plants that you would be able to dye a small little piece of cloth that you would use to show someone as a sample that this is what the dye looks like. So a small amount of dye. Le'ira, I'm sorry, k'dei l'tzmar ben dugma le'ira. So that you would dye a minimum amount. A sample amount so that a buyer and the amount that they would do a sample is the same amount that they would use for an era. An era is like the amount of wool they would put into the tip of this the tool that they would use to weave with. The era is this tool that they would use. They would thread the era. So the amount that you would need for the top of the era. So that's the amount they would use to show a sample of the dye. So that's with the plants that were already soaked to make the dye. But plants that were not soaked, it's not soaked yet. The same plant, but you hadn't soaked it, so you're not ready yet to use it for dye. Tanan, it says in the Mishnah later on, klipe agozim, walnut shells, klipe rimonim, pomegranate peels, stis. So that's a type of plant that they would use for the blue dye. Upua, a type of plant they would use for red dye. Kedei litzpar ben beged katan lefi sevacha. The amount of dye that you carry on Shabbos to be significant is the amount that you would use to dye a small garment. A small garment that the women used to use in their kerchiefs, and that's a larger amount than you would use for a dugma, for just a sample. So here you see there's a difference between the plants when they are already in the dyeing process versus a plant before it was used for the dye. Before it's used for the dye, so then you need a larger amount. Answers the Gemara. It's exactly the point. Ha it maralah. That's exactly the point. It depends about whether or not you've already used it for the dye. Once you're soaking it for the dye, then it's a smaller amount because a person wouldn't go through the whole process of making dye just for a sample. You wouldn't do that. So once it's already soaking, then the size is a sample. But before you begun soaking it, it's got to be a larger amount because the guy's not going to go into the process in the beginning. It's got to be that you're actually going to use it for the kerchief, for the woman's kerchief. It's a larger shear because before you actually began the process, a person wouldn't get involved in it just to create a sample. Once you get involved in it, it's got to be something you're actually going to sell. It's got to be a larger amount. And the Gemara is going to continue with the same svara over and over again, that the amount that's significant once you're in the process is a smaller amount than to begin the process l'chadchila. In order to begin the process l'chadchila, you need a larger amount. People aren't going to do it for such a small amount. And the Gemara is going to continue with the same type of line of questioning. V'harei zar onegina. What about these types of plants? D'mekame d'zarinu. That before you actually plant them, as far as carrying them before you plant them, Tanan, it says in the Mishnah, Zarone gina pochos mikagro geres. It's some amount less than a dried fig. Some say this means a kezias. Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira Omer, Rabbi Maseira says, chamisha. You have to carry five of them. Ve'ilu basar dizarinu. And yet, after you plant them, Tanan, zevel v'chol adak. So this zevel, fertilizer, and thin sand, Kedei lezabel bo kelach shel kruv. Divrei Rabbi Akiva, it's enough that you use to fertilize a plant of a cabbage. Divrei Rabbi Akiva, chum omrim kedei lezabel kereisha. And the chum say the amount is in order to fertilize a type of vegetable used for animal food, creation, which is smaller than kelach shel kruv. So you see from here that after you plant it, it's a smaller shear from then before you plant it. And even one zera is chashev. So too by carrying. Why don't we say that the leather that is tanned is smaller than the shear of the leather that's not tanned? Against Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman said that the leather before is different than the leather. Rav Nachman said that they're the same shear. But you see over here, it depends. It depends once it's already been tanned versus it should make a difference whether you've already tanned it versus not. Because here you see there's a difference. Once you planted it, it's one shear. But before you planted it, it's a different shear. So the Gemara says, same answer. Hayin mar Allah, we already said about this in the Beis Medrash. Amar Rav Papa, ha dezaria, the Mishnah that says that even one plant is chashuv, that's talking about once you planted it. V'ha delozeria, and the Mishnah that says that it's a larger size, so that's before you planted it. Same idea. L'fisha ein adam tarech lahotzi nima achas lezeria. A person's not going to make himself crazy by planting one little seed. You're not going to make yourself crazy to plant one little seed. However, when it comes to leather, the facts are not the same thing. There, a person might work hard to tan even a small little piece that's roi for an amulet. There's no difference between once a person has already tanned it versus before he tanned it. It's the same shear. It's the same amount. A person wouldn't make any distinction. But by planting, it's a whole headache. Apparently, by tanning, it makes no difference whether you started the tanning process or you haven't started the tanning process. Either one, it's the same shear. But by planting, a person's not going to go through the whole malach of planting just for one seed. So it's a larger amount that you need before you plant as opposed to once you've already planted it. So the fertilizer, once you've already planted it, so it's going to be a smaller shear. Says the Gemara, same question. Gemara is going to keep on asking the same kind of situation. Vahare tit, what about clay? The mekame delig belay, before you mix the dirt with the water to make the clay. Tanya modem chacham l'Rabbi Shimon b'motzi shovchin. We said before that chacham agreed to Rabbi Shimon that if you're going to carry dirty water, smelly water, l'rishus harabim, shesh yuran b'revias, that the shear is a revias, that's before you mixed it with the dirt. V'havinam ba'am, we ask, Shofa the Maichaz, what's it roi from Rabbi Yirmiya? Lagabo behenas atit. So you're going to use it to make the clay. Ve'ilu basar de gable. And yet, after you've made the clay, Tanya, tit, shiur kde lasos behem pikur. It's a whole different shear. It's much less. Once you've already turned it into clay, the amount of clay is less than the clay that a revius of water would make. Answers the Gemara, it's the exact same answer again. Hasam nami kidamaran. Lefishain adam tarech, legabel esatit, lasabo pikor. You're not going to go and make a whole mixture of clay just to do that little bit of the oven. But once you have the clay, so you'll use a little bit for the oven. But you're not going to make the whole clay in the first place for the oven. So in the first place, you need a larger shear. That's a revius. But once you have the clay made, even a smaller amount of clay that uses less than a revius of water, even a small amount is considered to be a chashuv amount. So there's a difference by here, as opposed to the leather, we say there's no difference. But by clay, by the plants, by all these other things, we're saying that there's a difference in how much is chashuv before you start the process, as opposed to after you've already done the process. Once you've done the process, a smaller amount is considered chashuv. But before you start the process, a person's not going to go through the whole process for such a small amount. So beforehand, you need a larger amount. You might need the amount of a revius of this dirty water. But beforehand, even though it takes less than a revius of the water to make the stopper of the oven, So you may need a larger amount. You may need a larger amount for that. 1 second. Yeah. Okay, let's continue. Let's continue. Says the Gemara, Toshma, come and hear another proof. Same story all over again. Damra b'chibarabi mishmei du'ula, shalosh orosein. There are three different types of leathers that have different names, and they have different amounts that you're chayav that are significant. Matzah v'chipa v'diftera. These are different levels of leather. Matzah, let's see what each one is. The Gemara doesn't explain what each of these things are. Matzah kemashma'o. That's the pure skin, the flat, dried-out skin. You haven't salted it yet. You haven't dipped it in flour. The process for creating leather was you take skin. First you salt it. Then you dip it in this flour. And then you treat it with gallnut juice. Don't ask me what gallnut juice is, but they always told us that's the way you make a leather. Gallnut juice. Afatsa, me afatsa. Says the Gemara. Matzah gashmo. Says the Gemara. So matzah is delo maliach. It's not salted. Delo kamiach, and you haven't dipped it in the flour. Udelo afitz, and you haven't treated it. You haven't soaked it in gallnut juice. So that's the most basic type of skin. Vakamashiro. And what's the shear of skin that's considered to be matzah, to be chayef for carrying it on Shabbos? Tani Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, k'dei lotzer bo mishkolas ketana. So it's a very large shear. It's a very large shear. It's the amount of leather that you would use to cover over a weight that's made out of lead. They would cover them with leather so that they shouldn't get damaged. So they would cover them. Vikama, and how much is that? Amrabai, riva de pumpadisa. A quarter of a lug from pumpadisa. A quarter of a lug of pumpadisa. Some say it's a quarter of a quarter, some say it's a quarter of a half. Rashi says a quarter of a lug of pumpadisa. Chipa, what's the next type of skin? Demaliach. That's leather that's already been salted, but velo kamiach, velo afitz. You haven't done process number two and number three. You salted it, so it's a little bit stronger, but you haven't yet, so obviously the shear is going to be a little bit less. So the because it's already more developed, so the shear is going to be a little less. Same story as before. So it hasn't been treated with flour, and it hasn't been treated with gallnut juice. The kamashir, okay, this none. Or k'di lasas kamiya. Oh, so that's like we said in the Mishnah. That's the leather to make the size of an amulet. That's the size of an amulet. Diftera. That's the most developed. It's not fully developed yet. It's also still missing. But it's missing the gallnut juice. Diftera. So that's a type of leather. Dimaliach. It's been salted. Ukamiach. And you already treated it with the flour. Velo afitz, but it hasn't been soaked yet in the gallnut juice. V'kamishiro, and how much of that? K'dei lichtov alavis aget. That's even a smaller amount, which is the amount of leather that it takes to write the words, harei at muteres l'chol adam, a small little piece of leather, which is even smaller. You have to write harei at muteres l'chol adam, you have to write the husband's name and the wife's name, the witnesses and the zman. That's smaller than all of them. That's the smallest, because it's the most developed. This is the way Rashi learns the sugya. Says the Gemara, Katani miyas, k'dei lotzer bo mishkolas katana. V'amar Abai, river de river de pumpadisa. So that's larger. That's larger. That's not like the Rav Nachman. Answers the Gemara, same story. Hasam bibishula. That's talking about a certain type of very moist leather right away after it was taken off the animal, so it's not really ro'i for any kind of tanning yet. So it's still moist. It's still so moist that it's not ro'i for anything. So it requires a larger shear. So even Rav Nachman would agree by that type of thing. Mamish, right when it got off the animal, you haven't done anything to it yet. He would agree that you need a larger shear, namely the shear of leather that you would use to cover a weight. Asks the Gemara. V'hatanan, another kash against Rav Nachman. How can you say leather? It's all the same shear. Habeged shloshal shlosha. What's the minimum size shear of a garment to be mekabel tuma? three tefachim by three tefachim lemedris for tumas medris. Hasak, if it's made out of goat hairs, arba, it's four tefachim by four tefachim, or leather, chamisha, five by five tefachim, mapatz, a mat made out of reeds, shishal shisha tefachim. Now, bein lemedris, bein lemeis, this is the same shear for the minimum size beged for tumas medris, that's for standing on it or sitting on it, and tumas meis, just for touching it. V'taniya for tumas meis. V'taniya la, we learned on this, habeged v'asak v'or, kishir l'tuma, kach hashir l'hotza. The same shear for tuma is the same shear for carrying it on Shabbos. So, you see, this is a much larger shear, 5x5 tefachim. That's not the same thing that it would take to make a small amulet. Answer the Gemara, hahu bikur tovla. That it says that the shear is 5x5 tefachim, that's talking about a certain type of leather that they were using it to sit on it. So therefore, that's not roi. That's only roi for that type of shear. So less than that, it's not chashiv. So that's why you need a specific amount for that shear. But a regular or, which is made for tanning, that was made for like a seat cover. But a regular or that's made for tanning, that'll be smaller. That'll be the start for an amulet. So the Gemara, yeah, fine. Says the Gemara, klaf kedei lichtav olav parasha ketana. So what about a fully developed klaf? So that's not like leather. So a klaf, what's the minimum size shear of a klaf that you have to carry on Shabbos? It's the amount that you would write the smallest parasha of the tefillin, which is the parasha of Shema Yisrael. Says the Gemara, Uriminu, I'll ask you a contradiction. Klaf viduch sustus. So klaf, apparently skin, the skin of the animal used for parchment. You have the outer skin, that's the klaf, and the dosustus is the inner skin, the part of the animal that's more towards the flesh. The outer part of the skin is the one that has the hair on it, and the inner part of the skin is the part that's inside, closer to the flesh. There's two halves to the klaf. There's two halves to the skin. The klaf, some say klaf is the outer one because that comes from the word klipa. Klipa means the shell, the peel. That's the outside. That's the way to remember it. Although some other Rishonim say it's the opposite way around, so maybe don't get so excited about remembering it. But that's the way most Rishonim understand. Klaf is the outside, and Duchsustus is the inside. That's what Rashi says. So after you tan the skin, you divide it into two. The part that's the outside towards the hair of the animal is called the klaf, and the inside is called the Duchsustus. Tosa says that way also. Rav Haigon and the Ramban, they say the opposite. Okay, we don't want to confuse them, the Maisa here. So, Minu, let's keep it like the way Rashi and Tosa say. Klaf is the outside, Duchsustus is the inside, near the flesh. So how much of this are you chaya for? How much of this are you chaya for carrying? Klaf, v'duchsustos, k'dei lichtov alav mezuzah. That's a larger shear. Mezuzah has two parshas on it. Shema and v'hayom shamoa. So how come our Mishnah says that the amount of klaf is only to write a small parsha of tefillin, which is just the parsha of Shema, the smallest parsha of the tefillin? Answers the Gemara, my mezuzah. What does the Gemara mean when it says mezuzah? Mezuzah shebetfillin. When it said the word mezuzah over there, it just meant the klaf, but it means, it doesn't mean mezuzah. It means the klaf of the tefillin. Says the Gemara, come on, what do you tell me mezuzah doesn't mean mezuzah? It means the mezuzah of the tefillin, meaning parsha Shema in the tefillin, meaning the parsha of the mezuzah that's in the tefillin. Says the Gemara, come on, mekari luhu, letefillin mezuzah? You really refer to a parish in the tefillin as mezuzah? Says the Gemara, yup, we do. In, we do. Vatanya, and I'll prove it to you, ritsuos tefillin, imat tefillin, mitamas asayadayim, bifnei atzman. I'm sorry, Ritzuas tefillin imat tefillin tam seidaim. The straps of the tefillin cause tuma. The rabbis decreed that certain holy things should cause tuma because they didn't want you to be around tuma when you had them, when you touched them. So ritzuas tefillin imat tefillin tam seidaim. The straps of the tefillin, while they are attached to the tefillin, they cause tumas yodayim, which means if you touch truma with them, if they touch truma, they would make the truma tamei. And a person who touches the straps, he would be metame truma by touching. Bifnei atzman, however, if they are not attached to the tefillin, a metamas asayadayim. That's Tanakama's opinion. They're only metamas when they're actually attached to the tefillin. Rabbi Shimon Yehudam and Mishum Rabbi Shimon, Hanogea Beritsua Tahar. He says a person who touches the straps of the tefillin, even if they're attached to the tefillin, you're tahar. Adshi Agia Bektsitsa. When do you become tahar? If you actually touch the batim of the tefillin, but not the straps. Rabbi Zakkai Mishmo Omer, Rabbi Zakkai, in the name of Rabbi Shimon, said, no, even if you touch the batim tahar, you're tahar. Adshi Yigabe Mezuzah Atzma. You're tar until you touch the mezuzah itself. So you see the word mezuzah is used to describe the klaf, until you touch the mezuzah itself. So you see that the parish of the tefillin is called mezuzah. Says the Gemara, wait a second. How can you say it's talking about mezuzah and the tefillin? V'ami diktani seifa, but look at the end of that braisa. What does it say in the seifa? Klaf, k'dei lichlo parish na'ashim b'tefillin, shishma Yisrael. Come on, you can't say that. In the safe of the Brisa, it says that the minimum shear of a klaf, but the end of that Brisa says, klaf is kedei lichtov alav parasha ketana shebetfilin, shishma Yisrael. Mechlal de Reisha, so obviously in the Reisha, b'mezuzat maskinan. So it's a steer from the Reisha to the Seifa. The Reisha, it says, klaf is k'dei lichtov mezuzah, and the Seifa, it says, klaf is k'dei lichtov parash k'tan shebet filin. Answer the Gemara, hachi k'tani. This is how to read the Brisa. Klaf v'duch sostos shiurin b'chama. A person who carries out klaf v'duch sostos shiurin b'chama. Duchsustos, how much is a klaf and a duchsustos? Duchsustos is k'dei lichtov alav mezuzah. That's shma em v'hayam shema. Because duchsustos is not kosher to write the tefillin. The inner part of the skin, which is the duchsustos. So since that's not kosher for tefillin, so duchsustos, the minimum shear is to write a mezuzah. Because that's what you would usually use the duchsustos for. You're allowed to write a mezuzah with it. But klaf, the outer one is k'dei lichtov alav parasha ketana shebetfilin shishma Yisrael, because the klaf is kosher for the writing of the tefillin. Kal v'chomer, it's kosher for the writing of the mezuzah, but nevertheless, as far as carrying on Shabbos, we l'chatchila, you write the mezuzah on duchsustos. So the shear for duchsustos is mezuzah, and the shear for the klaf is to write the small parasha of the tefillin. So now the Gemara is going to continue on this line of discussion about duchsustos versus klaf. What do you write a mezuzah on, and what do you write a megillah, shema on? Tefillin. Amarav, duchsustos harei keklaf. Rav says, duchsustos is the same halacha as klaf. Ma klaf kosen lof tefillin. Just like a klaf, you are allowed to write tefillin on it. Af duchsustos kosen lof tefillin. So Rav disagrees with that which we said before. Rav holds, just like klaf you could write tefillin, so to duchsustos you could write tefillin on. Ask the Gemara. Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, klaf k'dei lichtov parasha ketana shebetfillin. The minimum size of a klaf is to write the small parts on Shishma Yisrael. That's only klaf. That sounds like klaf, yes, but duchsustos, low. That sounds like, answer the Gemara, l'mitzvah. Right. It's better to write the tefillin with a klaf. But b'di'eved, you are allowed to, and therefore the shear when it comes to klaf is the tefillin shear, the smallest partial deal, because that's the best way to write the tefillin. However, b'di'eved, you are allowed to write tefillin even on duchsustos. That's what Rav was saying. You're allowed to b'di'eved use the duchsustos for the tefillin. Tashma, coming here, a proof. Coming here, proof against Rav. Halacha l'moshe misinai tefillin ala klaf u'mezuzah al duchsustos. It's halacha l'moshe misinai, that tefillin you write on the outer part of the skin, and mezuzah you write on the duchsustos, on the inner part of the skin. Klaf b'makom basar. Oh, but on the klaf, you write it on the inner side of the klaf, towards the basar. Duchsustos b'makom seir. But on the duchsustos, you write it on the outer part of the duchsustos, the part that faced more towards the hair of the animal, the outside. Oh, but this is against Rav. Answer the Gemara, same answer. L'mitzvah. It means this is the best way to do it, but b'di'eved, even if you wrote tefillin on the inner skin, that would be kosher also, like Rav says. Ask the Gemara, v'tanya, shina, pasul. Don't we learn that if you did it the other way around, it's pasul? Answer the Gemara, amezuzah. That's only if you wrote, it's talking about the din of the mezuzah, that if you wrote the mezuzah on the klaf, that would be pasul. But on the tefillin, if you wrote them on the duchsustos, it would be kosher. Ask the Gemara, come on. Vatanya, shina bezeh u bezeh, pasul. But didn't we learn in a brisa that whether you change the tefillin by writing them on the duchsustos or whether you wrote the mezuzah on the klaf, either one would be pasul? Answers the Gemara, no, that's not what it means. Mezuzah. When it says shina bezeh u bezeh, means both on the mezuzah. Vaha de kasvinu aklaf. The first one means if you wrote the mezuzah on the outer skin, that would be pasul. B'makom sear, even if you wrote it on the outside. Inami aduchsustos b'makom basar. Or if you wrote it on the inner one, on the inside of the inner one, would also be a problem. Even if you wrote aduchsustos b'makom basar, that's one answer. Says the Gemara, another answer. V'ibay seima, another answer. That really when it said b'zeh u'b'zeh means tefillin and mezuzah. That if you wrote the tefillin on the duchsustos, it's pasul. And if you wrote the mezuzah on the klaf, it's also pasul. Aye, so how come it's not against Rav? Says the Gemara, Shina b'zeh u'b'zeh tanoihi. It's actually machlokas tanoim. The sign, because we learned in a brisa, Shina b'zeh u'b'zeh. If you wrote the tefillin on the duchsustos and the mezuzah on the klaf, pasul. That's Tanakama. Both would be pasul. Rabbi Acha machshir. Rabbi Acha machshir mishum Rabbi Acha bar Chanina. V'amrila mishum Rabbi Acha Rabbi Chanina. He says that either one is permissible. You're allowed to, he was machshir tefillin on duchsustos, and then he was machshir it, and that's the way Rav holds. Rav Papa had a different answer. Rav de Omar Katana de Menashe. Rav holds like Tana de Menashe. The Tana de Menashe kosva ala niyar. V'ala matlis psula. If you write the tefillin on a piece of cloth made out of grass, v'ala matlis, or a piece of silk, it's pasul. Ala klaf, v'ala gvil, v'ala duchsustos kshera. But if you wrote the tefillin either on klaf or gvil, that's untreated. Unsplit. That's where you have both sides on it, right? So klaf is the outer part. Gvil is we have both parts together. Duchsustos is only the inner part. Kshera. Says the Gemara, ksavamai. What are we referring to writing? Ilema mezuzah. Aklaf mi kasvini. You're not allowed to write a mezuzah on klaf. El alav. Must be talking about tefillin. El alav tefillin. So tefillin can be read on, written on duchsustos. Says the Gemara, wait, v'litameich, tefillin akvil mikasvinon, is it really permitted to write tefillin on gvil? That's the leather, that the skin that has both. Is that permissible? Ela kitanya hi b'sefer Torah. No, maybe this entire brice is not talking about tefillin at all. It's talking about sefer Torah, and therefore you have no proof, no proof to Rav from this brice. Says the Gemara, lema misayale. Let us say we have a proof to Rav, lema misayale, kayotze bo. Tefillin shebalu v'sefer Torah shebala, tefillin that got worn out, or sefer Torah that got worn out, ein osin mehen mezuzah. If you have a sefer Torah that got worn out, you can't take some of the parshas of a sefer Torah, the worn out parshas, so you have some parts that weren't worn out. So tefillin shebalu v'sefer Torah shebala, ein osin mehen mezuzah. You're not allowed to take a worn out tefillin or worn out sefer Torah and use it for a mezuzah, because you're not allowed to take something that was on a high level of Kedusha and remove it and move it to a lower level of Kedusha. Time and day in Moridim. So the only reason is you can't make it go down in Kedusha. Ha-Moridim, but if theoretically you could bring something out to a low level of Kedusha. Osin, you are allowed to take something written as a Sefer Torah tefillin, and you can make a mezuzah on it. Now, d'ksiva amai, what were these tefillin written on? Lav dechsiva duchsustos. It's got to be that it was written on duchsustos, because if they were written on a cloth, it would be possible for a mezuzah. Forget about the fact that you can bring it down. Answer the Gemara, lo. Dechsiva ala cloth. It's written on a cloth. Says the Gemara, mezuzah cloth mikasvinon. Are you really allowed to write a mezuzah on a cloth? I thought you weren't allowed to write a mezuzah on a cloth. Answer the Gemara, in this Tana holds, you are allowed to write a mezuzah on the cloth, on the outer part of the skin. V'hatanya, like we learned in the Braisa, kosva ala cloth, al nir ala matlis psula. Tanakama says you write a mezuzah on the cloth, on the outer skin, it's possible. Amar Rabbi Shimon Elazar, Rabbi Meir, ha yakos ala cloth mipnei shemishtameres. Rabbi Meir used to write a mezuzah on the cloth because it was very, very protected that way. Hashdas lahachi says, oh, once we came to this, that you're really allowed to write a mezuzah even on a cloth. L'Rav Nami lo temi, you have no kash on Rav originally. Duchsustas areyu kiklaf. Eleim a klaf, areyu kiduchsustas. Ma duchsustas kosala mezuzah, af klaf kosala mezuzah. So you have a lot of different opinions here about whether or not you are allowed to write a mezuzah only on the inner skin or on the outer skin. You have a lot of different opinions. Some say that the mezuzah can only be written on the outer skin, and some say no. Some say mezuzah can only be written on duchsustas. Others say no, mezuzah can even be written on the klaf. And others say no, that the tefillin seems like could be written both on the klaf or on the duchsustas. But there's also a difference about which side of the klaf. Can you only write it on the inside part of the skin or the outside? So I should have looked up the halacha lemaisa. I didn't. I don't know halacha lemaisa, how we pass in this issue. I should have looked it up. But we will stop here. Everyone have a wonderful day. And we'll pick it up as Hashem tomorrow from here. D.O.
Have a great day, Rabbi.
Have a wonderful